Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we must rejoice and be glad in it. For God gave you what? He gave us a do-over. He gave us a do-over. He gave us a new day. He gave us an opportunity to be better today than we were on yesterday. Thanking God for the do-over and thanking God for each and every one of you. Let's get started in the word. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. Thank you, Father God, that you have given us an opportunity, Father, for another day to be better than we were yesterday. Father God, we ask you to increase as we decrease in our lives, in our work, in whatever we may be doing. For Lord God, you are our strength and our redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name that I come to you, Father God, with a humble heart, asking you as I read and teach your word to increase again as I decrease, Lord. For you are my redeemer. You are my strength. You are my song. You are my joy. You are my peace. You are my Father. And I know without any doubt in my mind that you love me. And Lord, I ask you, please watch over the sick and the shut in. Watch over all those, Lord God, who have COVID, all those who have pneumonia, the flu, or any other illnesses, Lord. I'm asking you, in the name of Christ Jesus, heal this land, Lord God, as we ask for forgiveness for our sins, seen and unseen. Please heal this land, oh God. Please heal. Please heal. Please heal. Please heal the brokenhearted. Set captives free, Father God. And guide us to your kingdom, that we will walk in righteousness and walk in light. For you are the light, and you are the peace, and you are the joy. And all those things come from you. For Lord God, you are fruit of the Spirit. And we want to live by it, talk it, and believe it. And Lord, believing that you are with us everywhere we go. Just as you were with Joshua, just when you were with Moses, you are with us. And Lord, I give myself away this morning for you to use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray in belief, knowing that you, Lord God, can handle everything. And that we are just your vessels to be used by you. Use me, Lord God, today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who truly is the source of my strength. I can't do this without him. Because understanding, in the flesh, this sister would be asleep. But God woke me up this morning. Early this morning. Like 4 something in the morning. Actually, I can give you the exact time. He woke me up at 3:58 this morning. And thank you, God, for remembrance. 3:58. And all I could think of was Father, grace, and new beginnings. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, grace, and new beginnings. What a word. 16 is what it's equaled out to. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. And his grace and his mercy endure forever and ever. And all we can say is blessed. Blessed and more blessed. And as we get ready to get started this morning, all I can say is we must pray. We must pray. And we must stand on God's word. It is written. It is written. Jesus stood on the word. And we must stand on the word too. We cannot continue living in crazy disorder and chaos. We are wondering why things are going the way they're going right now. It's because we as a nation have got to come together. We have got to come together. And I'm looking at news that pops up on my phone and on my iPad. And one of the things that popped up this morning, it says hundreds have been stranded on I-95 for more than 12 hours. And they're running out of fuel, food, and water in frigid conditions. Pray. We got to pray. Father God, you said that you will never leave us off of faith. Lord God, we need shelter. We need food. We need fuel. We need everything. We need you. Father, we need you to cover those that are stranded, those that are in need. On I-95, we need God to come in and take care of them. You know, and as we continue in the word, it tells us this. U.S. sets global record with more than 1 million new COVID cases in 24 hours. We got to understand that life is catching up. God is in charge of everything. And when we keep forgetting who's in charge, that's when we have confusion. And the author of confusion is not God. We have got to understand that God is in charge. And we love him. He loves us. And he wants the best for us. But we got to want the best for ourselves. In this word today, we're talking about Noah still. And we know that Noah lived in a time similar to this one. Violence off the chain. Craziness off the chain. People losing their proverbial mind. Folks doing stuff against God. Folks not believing in God, even though they were not that far from creation. And God said, okay, I'm done. Noah, got an assignment for you. I have an assignment for you. Son of Lamech, I have an assignment for you. Grandson, Tuva, got an assignment for you. You see this world you're living in? I'm going to destroy it. But I need you to build an ark. I want you to start gathering food. I want you to gather animals. I got things for you to do. You and your sons are going to build it. And I tell you something, there is nothing extraordinary like going to, I believe it's Williamsville or Williamsburg, Kentucky. And they have a replica of Noah's Ark that has been built. And it is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. It is beautiful. It's huge. And when you think about the cages and the food and all the things, the three stories in it, it is phenomenal. If you ever get an opportunity to go to the Ark and the Creation Museum, it is worth the trip. So let's get into this holy word of God, for it is written. Then the Lord said to Noah, your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation, you shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, to each of animals that are unclean. And so, remember, we all heard he takes all the animals two by two. But that's not what the word of God says, is it? What does it say? And that's what it says. It is what? Written. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, to each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah with his sons, his wife and his sons' wives, because of the waters of the flood, of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds and of everything that creeps on the earth, two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God has commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark, they and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. I'm going to read that again. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, that's where the two came in, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, the male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased, moved about on the surface of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both men and cattle, creeping things and birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. How long? 150 days. Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the water receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. And I just want to put a pin right there. Again, you know the History Channel. They have found Noah's Ark. It is on the mountains of Ararat. It is forbidden for folks to go up there because people were going up and stealing. But I tell you this, it is the truth. Whatever we have read in this word, don't ever get it twisted that God's word true. It is true. What we have read, it is true. What we have read that will come true, it will come true. Many things we have seen in our even our lifetimes. We understand that God does not play. He is omnipotent and omnipresent. And I tell you, what he says is happened, it has happened. What he says is coming, it will come. The question is, will we be ready? We are in a time of false prophets and prophecies and folks lying. But we got to go to the word, for it is written. That's the only way we can fight. This is the only way we can fight the wiles of the devil. That low-down, dirty, sneaky snake is to go to the word of God. For it is written. And as we go back to our written word, it says this. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the water had dried up from the earth. He also sent from himself a dove to see if the waters had rescinded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of his foot. And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out, are you and your whole, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives and with him, every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. Excuse me. Excuse me, got a tickle. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil. From his youth, Noah again destroyed every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Give God glory. And we will do life lessons for all of our chapters after we finish our word this morning. Psalms 3, 1 through 4, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Now, you know, David seemed to, all through the word, David was fleeing from somebody. He didn't have peace all too much doing his, didn't have peace during most of his time. Did not. Because he was running from Saul. Now he's running from his son. But then again, David didn't do all the things that David was supposed to do either. So let's get back into this word. And it says this, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. Again, it's written, David called on the name of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourse at the openings of the gates in the day. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. What a word. Fools hate knowledge. We got to study to show ourselves approved. It is written. We got to meditate on this word day and night. It is written. This is the only way to fight the wiles of the enemy. Even Jesus, the Savior of the whole world, giver of salvation, healed our stripes. By his stripes, we are healed of our infirmities. Use the word of God to fight the snake, to fight the enemy. As the enemy uses the word of God to twist things, Jesus uses the word of God to make things right. So understand this, family. As God puts it into my heart to say, the enemy knows the word of God. And he knows how to change it and twist it and make you all messed up. Because he done took the word and moved it and twisted it to seem like what he's saying is right. We got to study ourselves. We got to read it ourselves. And we got to know that God is going to give you clarity when you read it. So let's get into our Matthew word this morning. And we are coming out of Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus has been on a fast. And understand, my pastor says this all the time. The enemy will come before or after a move of God. Before or after, he's going to attack you. And I can tell you, it is a true statement. Been on the end of the attack. And it has happened before or after a move of God. I've seen it. Just like when you come off a fast, it's like you all kind of stuff comes into your mind and your spirit. And that's what we got to learn like God. We got to learn like our Savior Jesus Christ to speak what is written. When he throws a rock, you got to throw a brick of the written word. Hallelujah. And this is what Jesus said. And it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. See, the devil can use it is written too. Catch that. He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. So understand, when we go, it is written, the devil can use it too. But then we got to have a spirit like Christ and come back when he takes a word out of context. Y'all catching me? Out of context. Then Jesus said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Bam. He throw the word at you. You got to throw the word back. And it goes on to say, again, the devil took him up on exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord your God and him only. You shall, let's say it again, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And I'm going to give it for the Holy Spirit one more time. Jesus said to him, away with you. Again, this is the third time. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, which it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptic, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. He was a healer. By his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Thanking God for the word. And reminding you, it is written. But understand the enemy knows the word of God too. Better than me. Better than you. And he will twist it. And he will take it. And he will try to trip you up. But we have to stand firm on the written word of God as Jesus did. Fight the wiles of the devil with the word. If he throws one word at you, be prepared to throw the rest at him. Because the devil is busy. And he's very busy in this nation. And we have got to be on our knees. Push, push, and push some more. We got to pray until something happens more than once. We got to believe. Got to trust God. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. That is all word we have for today. But we have some life lessons from our Bible from Dr. Charles Stanley. And the first life lesson is this, Genesis 8:1. God remembered Noah and every living thing. And as Dr. Stanley says, God always remembers his people, not merely to recall their existence or names, but to act in grace toward them, even if they must wait for him to act. Again, God does not always come when we want him, but he will always be on time. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. God promises me the difference between life and death. Can I say that one more time? God's promise, not Pastor Bridges, not Minister Bridges, not anybody but God, promises me the difference between life and death. Even when things look darkest, we can rely on his trustworthy word that I will provide. I will not leave you. We got to trust God that even in our darkest, craziest times of life, God is going to send light at the end of your tunnel. God is going to send peace at the end of your reign. God will watch over his children. I believe it with my whole heart that God is going to bring me through what the devil has sent me through. The devil may bring you to something, but I can guarantee you, he can only do what God allows. And if God allows it, it is to make you stronger, to make you wiser, and to help you to be better. Psalms 3:2, many are they who say of me, there is no help from him in God. To make it in the Christian life, we must surround ourselves with other believers who love the Lord and who love us, doubters and skeptics, we can find anywhere in the church. We should find encouragement. In the church, we should find encouragement. But we have a tendency to lose it and go after everything but the truth. Folks, even in church, we'd rather believe lies than believe the truth. Because a lie fits into their whatever ideology. God knows everything. And as we continue in Matthew 4:1, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, we all know if God allowed the Savior of the whole world to be tempted, that we are going to be tempted too. And it goes on, this is what Dr. Stanley says, the Holy Spirit led Jesus to a barren place where the devil waited to tempt him. We should never doubt God's leading just because we run into temptation. That is often God's way of testing us. Whatever you run into and coming up against, understand that God is in charge And it's going to make you stronger. Again, wiser, bolder, and more appreciative of your gift and calling. Hallelujah. Matthew 4:3. When the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Understand, Satan tries to get us to doubt the word of God and test God's promises. He will urge us to think that God cannot quite be trusted, or that what he has said is not the whole truth. He did that with Eve. Well, you know he said that if you ate from this, you're going to die. Well, I tell you, it's real good. And if you eat from it, you're not going to die. Girl, come on now. He's just saying that because he don't want you to be like him. And so what she do? Ate the fruit and got knowledge of good and evil, and then made her husband eat it too. Here, baby, come on. You know, this is some good stuff. You might as well just come on, try a little bit. But God said, no, don't worry about it. We'll be fine. I'm still alive, and I had some. It's not, we didn't die, did we? I ain't dead. So why don't you eat some too? And what did he do? Instead of being the head and not the tail, he going to eat the fruit too. And there's nowhere in the word does it say it's an apple either. So don't get caught up in that foolishness. I even actually heard a minister say, and they ate the apple. No, it's not an apple. And it's not said. It did not say in the word of God it was an apple. It was a piece of fruit that we may never have even seen. I know what it looks like. And we probably don't know what it looks like. Because it's God's plan. Again, tempted and fail. And we have all gone through that door where we have been tempted and fail. You know you don't need a drink, but you have that drink anyway. You know you got an issue with smoking weed, but you take a puff anyway. You know that you can't deal well with pornography, but you watch that movie with pornographic scenes anyway. We got to understand that whatever the situation is, God has given you an out. And it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. There's only one God, and he's in charge of everything. And as we go into our next word, those three temptations, the first one, he takes it because he's hungry. And the devil says, it is written, using that word against him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what Jesus had to tell him. Because the devil going to come in and tell me, if you are the Son of God, man, that these stones become bread. And Jesus had to let the devil know, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Satan knew that because he understood that the word of God kicked his behind out of heaven and the third with him. And then he goes on to say, well, so then the devil going to try to take and pull it back on Jesus. Well, okay, you're going to say it's written. Let me go back with you. Well, it's also written kind of thing. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So he's going to try to use it's written against Jesus. Second temptation. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So you're going to try to throw one at me, I got one on you. You know, come on now. Don't try it. Then number three, he's going to try to power. I'm going to give you power. But we know power corrupts. And we already know Jesus is in charge and that he don't have to get anything from the devil because the Lord has already said that he was higher than the angels. Come on now. And Satan, call it what it is, is nothing but a fallen angel. And Jesus has more power than him and has more power than him. And this is what he says to Jesus now. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. The devil is a lie. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. But it is written, there's that third one, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Three times that doggone sneaky snake tempted Jesus. And three times Jesus beat his butt with the word of God. Standing on the promises of the Lord God. And as Dr. Stanley says, Jesus responded to each of Satan's three temptations by appealing to the unchanging word of God. It is written. Keep that in your arsenal. It is written, and have your scripture that you can stand on in your mind and in your spirit. Ask God to give you recollection so you can fight a fight of faith. And again, Dr. Stanley says, it is written, if we want to successfully overcome temptation, we must know what the word says. And that is why we do moving forward. So we know what the word says in context. I'm a firm believer that you read it in context and you get the whole thing. And this is a life question. It says, answers to life questions. How do I handle nagging doubts? Satan loves us to fear and doubt against believers. He knows if he can get you to question God, then maybe you will give up and abandon his will for your life. Feelings of fear often precede feelings of doubt and uncertainty. If these runaway emotions can cause you to stop trusting God and his ability to provide for you. A first step to defuse doubt is to determine the origin. Begin by asking yourself if your feelings of doubt have a legitimate basis. Many times we struggle with thoughts and feelings that have no validity. Second reading, God's word is a great way to combat fear and doubt. Again, the first step to diffuse doubt is to determine its origin. The second is reading God's word in a great way to combat fear and doubt. A daily reading program, such as the one you're reading right now, will show you many ways to handle doubt. The book of Psalms highlights many personal battles over emotions, such as fear, doubt, loneliness, and discouragement. David and others made a conscious decision to trust the Lord through tremendous difficult circumstances, and found that God never once failed them. And I believe in my heart that God will not fail me, that God will not fail you, that God will not fail. I believe that in my heart will not fail. He is with us, he has got us, and he will not fail. Prayer is also essential in fighting fear and doubt. In essence, prayer is faith in action. Say that with me, y'all. Prayer is faith in action. We will not worry, we will pray. Hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus, thank you for this word, Lord. And it goes on to tell us that Dr. Stanley says, we pray because we see God as a solution to what we face. If you are facing a difficult situation, don't be slow in asking God to show you the best way to handle it. If your level of trust seems low, don't worry. God is wise and kind. He wants to teach you more about himself, not frighten you away. Your faith will increase as you get to know him better. Even if you don't have the emotional strength to trust God, you can still begin. God will be your strength. God will be my strength. You gotta believe that in your heart. God will be my strength. And this is another thing that Dr. Stanley says. When God tests you, it is good time. It's a good time for you to test him by putting his promises to the proof and claiming from him just as much as your trials have rendered necessary. And that was actually told to Dr. Stanley by A.B. Simpson. And this is also another word. It says, always be honest with God. He knows it all anyway. Honesty breaks the pattern of doubt. The last thing Satan wants you to do is to go to God in prayer and tell him you feel doubtful. He knows that God loves you with an eternal love. And that if you come to him for help, he will give you all the assistance you need, as the word of God tells us in Psalm chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God's got us covered. All we have to do is believe. And that is all I have this morning. I thank God for all of you. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for being with us. For it is written. Keep that in your arsenal. It is written. And before we get out, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word from our sister today is this. Good morning. God has great things planned for you. And his promises are yours to enjoy. Find your place in life through him and have a triumphant Tuesday. And family, I ask you to continue keeping our loved ones in prayer. Continue praying for this nation as we get ready to come up on the anniversary on January 6th of an attempted insurrection. We must pray, America. Pray for us to become a unified nation, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. For God is in charge. And we thank him for his son, for we know he has given us a great gift, the gift of eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. Our Lord and our Savior, and it's in his name that I pray, believing and trusting and saying to you, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed and have a wonderful, wonderful day with God. For who's in charge? God is. Thanking you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed day, family. But it is, as we say on Moving Forward, it is a wrap. It's a wrap, y'all. And I am grateful to again be with you this morning, believing and trusting that God is and will make a way. He is making a way and will make a way out of no way. In Jesus' name, again, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed. It's a wrap. And time to go to what? To work. And who do we work for? We work for God. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap.